Hello, thank you for downloading this podcast of the NYU Abu Dhabi Institute. We hope you enjoy listening to this. For more information about our programs, please visit www.nyuad.nyu.edu/institute.
Assalamu alaikum. Bikuli khair. My name is Maurice Pomerantz, and I'm the senior director of the NYU Abu Dhabi Institute. It's an interdisciplinary center for advanced research, artistic creation, and public outreach. And I'm also a professor here of Arabic literature at New York University. As you might have seen from our beautiful banners outside, this is our 15th year anniversary, and we have a really lively schedule of talks that promise to challenge and hopefully inspire you. Just next week, I'll mention on Monday, February 12th, we have a talk entitled Media, Identity Challenges and Future Vision, which brings together three well-known UAE journalists to talk about the current media landscape and its futures. On Tuesday, February 13th, we invite you to a program entitled UAE Culture Through the Al-Durur Calendar, which is our first partnership with the Zayed National Library, Zayed National Museum, which is actually just emerging right now, as we can see it, which will examine lifeways of the Emirates. Both of those talks will be in Arabic, but we'll have headsets for simultaneous English translation. On February 14th, we have a screening of a documentary produced by the multi-Emmy award-winning war correspondent Arwa Damon, entitled Seize the Summit, which chronicles the journey of four young individuals, all survivors of conflicts in Ukraine, Syria, and Afghanistan, as they embark on a week-long exhilarating expedition to conquer Mount Kilimanjaro. So lots of things going on, and if you'd like to follow us on social media, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, please do. You can see that's just 1 week, so we've got many things going on in February. And before we begin tonight, I'd like to acknowledge that this talk is part of a year-long series on music and musicology, which has been co-sponsored by ADMAF, the Abu Dhabi Music and Arts Foundation. I'd also like to give a special thanks to my colleague, the music faculty member Gwyneth Bravo, for proposing and curating this talk and series. And really, without Gwyneth's deep interest in this topic, we would not be standing here tonight. And I know she's not feeling well, so I'm wishing her all the best in a speedy recovery. With that, tonight it is my profound pleasure to introduce our speaker, Dr. Ahmed Nasser Sarmast. He is a music educator, a trumpeter, the son of a renowned Afghan musician. He began his studies at Moscow State Conservatory and later received a PhD in music from Monash University in 2005. Dr. Sarmast is an accomplished ethnomusicologist and has contributed much to the academic field of Afghan and Central Asian music. Yet tonight, I think, it is as the founder and director of the Afghanistan National Institute of Music that we'll be focusing on. Dr. Sarmast has played a pivotal role in reviving Afghanistan's rich musical heritage. The Afghanistan National Institute of Music's mission is to assure musical rights, to transform lives through music, to revive and preserve Afghan music, and to train future music educators, and really to lead cultural diplomacy between Afghanistan and the international community. It provides this dynamic, challenging, and safe learning environment for all students, regardless of gender, ethnicity, religious sect, or socioeconomic circumstances. And it is focused especially on supporting those most disadvantaged children in Afghanistan, orphans, street working vendors, and girls. For over a decade since its founding in 2010, ANIM flourished, this great institute. Its students and ensembles, including a famous all young women's orchestra named Zohra, toured the world as a beacon of hope and a positive face on Afghanistan's future. When the Taliban retook power in August 2021, when musical rights and girls' education were again in jeopardy in Afghanistan, Sarmast worked with an international coalition of friends, artists, diplomats, business persons, philanthropists, and others to rescue the 273 members of the school and reestablish it in Lisbon, Portugal, where I guess it is today. It was the single largest evacuation of a self-contained group following the following the withdrawal of the United States and NATO troops, and is the most consequential airlift of a group of musicians in world history. Despite personal dangers, including surviving three assassination attempts, Dr. Sarmast's commitment to music education has led this institute to become, and I think remain, this great source of hope. For his remarkable contributions, Dr. Sarmast has received numerous awards, and really the list is quite long, and including this 2018 Polar Prize, which is often referred to as the Nobel Prize of Music. Dr. Sarmast's personal resilience and dedication to music's transformative power are inspirational. And with that, I invite him to speak to us tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for this gracious introduction. Thank you very much for everyone attending this evening talk. Thank you the Abu Dhabi New York University and all its partners for having me here to talk to you and to share the story of institution which have been mainly referred to as the happiest place in Afghanistan. To tell the story of this happiest place, how it was delivering happiness to the children of Afghanistan, and why it became a constant target of the Taliban, and why the Taliban were so much against it. But before beginning the talk, I just wanted to say a few words about the contemporary history of Afghanistan, which facilitated the emergence of the Taliban and the rise of radicalism in Afghanistan. The history of Afghanistan the last 50 years is a history of continuous upheaval. It's years of continuous civil war and invasions. In 1978, when Afghanistan was moving smoothly towards progress, everything was perfect. The people of Afghanistan were happy. The leftist regime, or the leftist party, came into power as a result of coup d'etat, a military coup, which paved the way for unrest and consequence invasion or arrival of the Soviet Union to Afghanistan, which triggered the resistance of the Afghan people against this invasion, but also this paved the way for the radical forces from around the world to come to Pakistan and to fight alongside the Mujahideen of Afghanistan in Afghanistan against one of the most secular regime of the country. The regime that introduced the reforms like gender equality, enforced education for everyone, giving land to the farmers, But the same reforms has been once again attempted by a new regime after 2021, after the defeat of the first time, or after the defeat of the Taliban and the removal from the power. That upheaval in 1960s eventually led to the emergence of the Taliban, who at the very beginning emerged as the Sevilla of Afghanistan, as someone who will be saving Afghanistan from the civil war and ending over eventually to a technocratic government in Afghanistan. But it turned to be false promises. They could not keep their promises from the very first moment when they came into power. From the first day, a very harsh and draconian, and the implementation of very harsh and draconian policies began against the arts, culture, human rights, and women rights in Afghanistan. It was years of continuous war. And that was the time that Afghanistan was turned into a safe haven for the terrorists from around the world. The same radical forces that were once brought to Afghanistan in early 80s to fight against a secular regime in Afghanistan. They were the same people who eventually began attacking the world, beginning destabilizing their own countries, and behind their own countries moving to Europe, to United States, and other parts of the world. But all those changes of power had severe consequences in Afghanistan. When the Taliban came into power first time, the civil war did not end up. Respect for minority rights did not happen. Those crucial elements that the people of Afghanistan waiting to happen did not happen, but on contrary, the Taliban began implementing a cultural genocide in Afghanistan. What Taliban did there during their first reign, it was nothing short of a cultural genocide. Some of you might remember the media coverage of the explosion or the demolition of the Buddhas of Bamiyan. Two largest Buddhas of the world have been exploded by the Taliban. Thousands of artifacts have been destroyed in museums of Afghanistan. The people of Afghanistan were deprived all their music rights, rights to music education, rights to make music, a right to be involved in music. Musicians of Afghanistan, a right to deliver happiness to the Afghan people and to make a living through music. That was not the end of story. Destruction of artifacts, banning of music, hanging the musical instruments on the trees of Kabul. But they moved also against the intangible cultural heritage of Afghanistan. Nowruz celebration, or which is also known as the Persian New Year, has been celebrated in Afghanistan for centuries and centuries and centuries. Has nothing to do with Islam, or there's nothing against Islam. That was also taken off the life of the Afghan people. Sufi tradition, mysticism, was demolished in Afghanistan. An ethnic cleansing taking place in a very systematic manner. So I give all this background in order to pave the way in which condition the Afghanistan National Institute of Music established. The years of civil war, draconian policy of the Taliban had a very negative impact on the music scene of Afghanistan. During this time, when Afghanistan was burning in civil war, I was enjoying my comfortable life, middle-class life in Australia. But I was always worried about what's going to happen with the arts and culture in Afghanistan, what's going to happen with the artistic freedom and artistic rights of the Afghan people. When the Taliban were removed from power in 2001, I gave up my life in Australia, my academic career, and I made a decision to go back to Afghanistan. For me, it was always clear that there are many wonderful musicologists around the world. There's many professors of music around the world, and Australia enjoys wonderful specialists in the field of music. But Afghanistan had no one. Afghanistan needed someone to go and to bring music back to the community. someone who could work with the Afghan government, someone who could work with the international community, someone totally natural but with a mission to bring music back and to ensure the musical rights of the Afghan people. So I returned to Afghanistan in 2008. The first 2 years was years of working very, very hard to raise the necessary support. Obtaining political support was very, very crucial. You can establish a music school, you cannot promote a music school, you cannot promote music in a country where music was banned easily. And music was banned under the holy name of Islam, which has nothing to do with music, which has nothing against music. I'm in a Muslim country. Please correct me if I'm mistaken. Where is an explicit reference against music in Islam? Nowhere. But that beauty has been taken of the life of Afghan people for many, many years. And Afghanistan was a totally a silent nation. I established Afghanistan National Institute of Music with number of objectives. And I'm very, very pleased and honored that we've been moving very steady with huge success in all directions. Transforming lives through music and education. Who needed to benefit from this program most? Disadvantaged children of Afghanistan. We had hundreds of thousands of children working on the streets of Kabul to make a piece of bread for themselves and their families with no future. No future was promised for them. Orphanages of Afghanistan was filled by orphans who lost their parents or one of their parents during the civil war. Or some of them ended up in this orphanage not just because they lost someone, because their families could not afford to provide a living for them, to provide an education for them, and therefore they were giving them to the orphanage as a solution. I can tell you many success stories that how a child who was living in an orphanage, or a child who was working or making a slave labor in the streets of Kabul, became the first female conductor of Afghanistan, thanks to music and music education. I can tell you the story of Negin Khpulwak. I can tell you the story of Wahidullah Amiri, who became a concert pianist. I can tell you the story of Marjan, who became the first female concertmaster in the history of music in Afghanistan. All those lives have been changed thanks to music education. The life of women in Afghanistan was always difficult, even in the very, very good times that we today remember with nostalgia. But in the villages, in the countryside, women of Afghanistan had a very tough life. But those number of women who've been living in big, sophisticated cities, their life became hell during the first reign of the Taliban and, of course, civil war. After the removal of the Taliban, while there was a lot of opportunity for women, but there was no opportunity for girls and women in education, in music education. But no one could also even think about how music can contribute to the empowerment an improvement of gender equality in Afghanistan. So that was another mission, that we wanted to empower the girls of Afghanistan through music and education. And therefore, we've been saving 50% of the school enrollment every year for disadvantaged children, street working children, kids who are living in the orphanage, and girls. I began my program with only one girl in 2010, only one girl. But by the time of the return of the Taliban, we managed to establish a full women orchestra of Afghanistan led by an Afghan young league conductor, and every member was local Afghans with no foreign musician in it. A program or an orchestra initiated by Afghan, completed by Afghans, and led by Afghans. One third of the school body became slowly to be female students. Reviving Afghan music, what we could do for Afghan music. Afghan music is an oral tradition. When there's not the right condition for that tradition to be passed from generation to generation, slowly it's gonna become obsolete. It's gonna disappear. Music, Afghan music, never was part of a formal music education. There was never a curriculum developed for the teaching of Afghan music and musical instruments. What we did in order to facilitate the revival of Afghan music, but also to create a condition for aging musicians to pass their knowledge and skills to the young generation, we included the teaching of Afghan music in our curriculum. And we developed, with the assistance of professional music educators and traditional musicians, curriculum for the teaching and learning of the Afghan instruments. And we developed teaching and learning materials. And that was the way that, for example, there was only one aging Dilruba player left in Afghanistan. It's a bowed instrument. It was almost disappearing that the Afghanistan National Institute of Music established. So we trained many female and male Dilruba players. We also began to revive musical forms that disappeared. But still, those musical forms were very fresh in the memories of the musicians. With the support of musicians, we brought those musical forms into existence and began passing them and teaching them as part of our curriculum. It was not just the traditional music of Afghanistan, but also we made the learning of Afghan folk music, or the learning of the music of the people of Afghanistan, compulsory for all our students. Promoting musical diversity. Of course, it was important for us to revive and preserve Afghan music, but I always speak about music as a human right. Access to diversity of musical genres and musical form and musical languages, it's a right. And therefore, we also, the teaching of Western classical music was the second important element of our program. Some of people were asking me, why Western music? What the hell you need Western music in Afghanistan? I always said, and I continue to say, that such a musician like Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, do they belong to a particular nation or to a particular race? They belong to the humanity. And the type of music that is played and read and taught all over the world, why we cannot use those traditions, those achievements of the humanity for the safeguarding and benefiting and betterment of the Afghan music? Therefore, the teaching of Western musical instrument, Western instrument, was an important element, because we've been at the same time not only ensuring the musical rights of our children, but we've been also promoting and contributing to a pluralistic society in Afghanistan. We've been contributing to the diversity and cultural diversity in Afghanistan. So that was important. Community outreach, and yes, I believe in the power of music. We could pass very important messages and contribute to the social changes in Afghanistan through music. And therefore, we not only made our program accessible to wider communities through a program that was called Afghanistan Winter Music Academy. For 3 months of winter, we've been intensifying the teaching of our program, but at the same time, we've been opening the door of the Afghanistan National Institute of Music to music lovers and music students from all over Afghanistan to come and to benefit from the expertise and skills that existed in our school. But we've been also releasing video recording to address important social challenges, like we released 2 videos to do advocacy for women rights and gender equality in Afghanistan. We also commissioned and released a video for the celebration of Child Girl Day. We produced many videos promoting patriotism in Afghanistan and progressive ideas. So that was part of our contribution to the community and paying back to the community through music, to making a contribution to the betterment of a community, not a particular group of people, but to the wider community. Afghanistan during the first reign of the Taliban, civil war, and the Soviet Union invasion was practically cut off from the rest of the world. And that's why when I finished my secondary education, the only opportunity or where I could go to study it was Soviet Union. So we also put a goal for ourselves to reconnect Afghanistan through intercultural dialogue. And that's why we've been engaging not only through Afghan, through Winter Music Academy, we've been hosting musicians from around the world to come and to teach to our students, but also to do public performances, but also to collaborate with our musicians. But when we began to traveling and presenting Afghan music outside Afghanistan, it was also part of our mission was to inviting young musicians from host countries to partner with our young musicians. In every section of the orchestra, we've been inviting one or two musicians to sit alongside our musicians to make music together. And also through this, we've been also facilitating dialogue between young people of Afghanistan and their peers around the world. But at the same time, while we've been at the same time sharing the beauty of Afghan music with the international community. So in those directions, we've been very, very successful. Extremely successful. And what of the reason that made us at the target of the Taliban, it was not the program of the school that we, everything that we've been doing, it was in sharp contrast with the ideology of Taliban. Teaching music, promoting music, it's against the ideology and belief of the Taliban. Co-education, boys and girls sitting together, making music together, studying together, that's something that also upset the radical forces, most importantly, the Taliban. Engaging with musicians from other world, from other parts of the world, that was a crime that the Taliban could not forgive it to us. Traveling with young musicians throughout the world to share the beauty of music, that was a crime that we've been, according to the Taliban, we've been disgracing the Afghan pride. But we successfully were involved in those activities because we knew that playing a sold-out concert in Carnegie Hall, it means a lot for Afghanistan, for this Afghan young musicians. Playing in Carnegie Hall is a dream of every single musician in the world. But it's an opportunity to show a different side of Afghanistan, to show the changes that happen in Afghanistan, to show to the world how far Afghanistan moved away from the time of the first reign of the Taliban. I briefly mentioned the all-women orchestra of Afghanistan. Yes, I begin with one girl. But by the time of the Taliban, we had the Zora Orchestra, the all-women orchestra of Afghanistan, widely in demand throughout the world. But for us, it was always a symbol of freedom of Afghan women. It was a symbol of empowerment of Afghan women. It was a symbol of ability of Afghan women, but also it was a symbol of gender equality in arts and culture in Afghanistan. It was a great moment in the history of Afghanistan when these young girls played at the closing ceremony of the World Economic Forum. I never forget the moment that a child from Nuristan, Wajia Nuristani, a clarinet player, by the end of the concert when I went backstage, she and Sunbul were crying. We're crying so, I thought they're upset or they might be missing their families or I thought something happened. But I asked them, what's happened? Why are you crying? Dr. Salmas, didn't you see? You didn't see how all these important people were standing for us and how we made proud Afghanistan today. So that moment of happiness and pride was continuing. We played all over the world in the most prestigious venues with different ensemble and orchestras. We've been making a great impact on the social life of the Afghan people. We've been making a great impact on the social fabric of Afghanistan, on the arts of Afghanistan, on the culture of Afghanistan, and to the happiness of the Afghan people. You see that beautiful photos. They've been taken a week before the return of Taliban to power. This happiness, this moment of joy, the opportunity that has been created by the Afghanistan National Institute of Music, the girls, a week before that, they could not guess that it's going to be taken away from us. They were so proudly posing in front of camera for a report about the Afghanistan National Institute of Music. On the day when the Taliban returned back to Afghanistan, we were preparing for a tour to Colombia. But this happiest moment and those proud moments was slowly disappearing. I was not guessing that the Taliban were going to come back into power. On the 12th of July 2021, we released two new patriotic songs in support of the Afghan army and progressive forces who've been fighting the Taliban. When the provinces began, the district began changing hands, I said, okay, it's a district. It's taken away by from the government, but tomorrow probably it will be taken back. The thing's going to change. It's war. It's the areas might change hands from time to time. That's happened quite often in the contemporary history of Afghanistan. But when the provinces began falling, then that was the moment that I thought that, okay, the days of music in Afghanistan is over. Silence is returning back. The music will be taken off the life of the Afghan people once again. You might remember, it's not too far that day when there was a lot of media coverage from Afghanistan, but also some of you might follow the international political development, and you could remember there was so much speculation in the international media that the Taliban of 2021 are much better than the Taliban of 1996. But for me, working in Afghanistan, living in Afghanistan, witnessing on a daily basis what was happening in the areas that was coming under the control of the Taliban, it was clear that the people who removed Taliban in 2001, they're bringing them back to power. They're planning to bring them back to power. And the Taliban will be soon the rulers of Afghanistan. So, but for me, it was also a tragedy. I knew that this is a speculation. This is part of the propaganda of the Western political circles. The days of music is over, and the happy days of Afghanistan is once again will be very soon over. And that's why when the Taliban came, it was not, they began silencing Afghanistan. I began panicking. I was trying my best to see how I can save the school, how I can save the dreams of 273 people, how I can enable my kids to dream and to hope for the future. It became very clear when I received messages from Kabul that Taliban, on the first hours of their return to Afghanistan, they went to our school. They grabbed it, or they occupied it as a military barrack, as a military reward. And from that moment, it became the center of a Haqqani group. And a big group of Taliban militias are based in the both campus of the Afghanistan National Institute of Music. You see these photos? To me, they're extremely tragic. These photos are extremely painful. I knew that this place was called the happiest place. Behind these gates, there was always laughter, happiness, enjoyment, development. But now you see what's happening there. It was not just the destruction of the musical instrument that the Taliban began in my school in the first day of their return. Afghanistan National Institute of Music has been highly respected by the community. You see this photo? It was painted in the city center of Afghanistan by Afghan painters, by an organization called Art Lords, yes. They painted this in a big wall in Afghanistan as a gratitude to the work that we've been doing for Afghanistan, this young musician, my faculty, my team. In the first weeks of the Taliban, they went to paint this. So they erased from the memory of Afghanistan. That there was an orchestra called Zora, and there was a place which was called Afghanistan National Institute of Music, often referred to as the happiest place or as the beacon of hope. This is the same instrument that this young man played it in the good days, but they destroyed it. They destroyed many musical instruments in my school. They took over and confiscated all the infrastructure of the school, including our bank account and our finance resources. They're not painful. I can build again. I can obtain tons of musical instruments again. But we cannot get back. It's the dreams lost. The Afghan children, the Afghan youths, they lost the only place where they could learn music and could benefit from the healing power of music, from soft power of music. That was taken away from the life of the Afghan people. This is the most painful aspects of the return of the Taliban for us, taking the music out of the life of the Afghan people. Today, once again, like 1996, Afghanistan's entirely silenced. You're not allowed to listen to music. If you're caught listening to music, you will be punished. There were reports of Taliban killing a bride in the evening of her wedding because the sound of music was coming there in the city of Jalalabad. They killed a young man listening to music, celebrating the wedding of his brother in his car. Musicians today, once again, has nothing else left for them to dig the ground and hide their musical instruments once again. So music is a crime in Afghanistan once again. Making music, learning music, playing music, listening to music, it's a crime. I wish it was the only crime of the Taliban. Today, a systematic gender apartheid is taking place in my country. Taliban, in the most draconian manner, step by step, erased Afghan women from Afghan social life. Today, the women of Afghanistan, once again, are forced to be fully covered. I wish that was the only restriction, but they could allow them to go back to school and to go back to university and to go back to work and to study. Today, the women of Afghanistan are not allowed even to go picnic with their family members. A man and a woman cannot picnic in a park together. Women of Afghanistan are deprived from their freedom of movement. So you will see once again, when I was a young man, I read somewhere that the history is never repeating, but in Afghanistan you see that this history is repeating. And the repeat of the history in Afghanistan is the result of change of geopolitical games. In 1980s, we become a victim of great game played in Afghanistan. Today, after 20 years of trillions of dollars invested in Afghanistan to assist Afghanistan to move to the right direction, thousands of lives lost in Afghanistan. Isn't it funny that the Taliban were replaced by Taliban? We did not replace Taliban by Taliban. We did not get engaged in negotiation with the Taliban. We did not recognize a terrorist group as a political partner. We did not whitewash the Taliban in the international media. The people of Afghanistan are not paying billions of dollars today to run the military machine of the Taliban. We all know, I'm sure that you read in the international media, that Taliban are receiving on a weekly basis $40 million in cash from the United States of America. we have, the people of Afghanistan has the right to ask the question, did we deserve, did the American people, men and women, who laid their life in Afghanistan deserve that betrayal? Is it worth it to gain or to promote your own interests on the unhappiness and sacrifices and the loss of the dreams of millions of people, men and women? You see that beautiful airplane in the back here in this photo? We did not make this one. We did not leave it for the Taliban. So the most sophisticated airport has been left behind in Afghanistan with the tons of most up-to-date military equipment. That's why the Taliban are in a position today to suppress any protest in Afghanistan. In such a circumstances, when we know that the day of music is finished, but I could not rest unless I'm returning and providing another opportunity for those young boys and girls to chase their dreams, to get them out to freedom, to make sure that they continue their education, and to make sure that we educating new leaders for tomorrow, for Afghanistan of tomorrow. That was not an easy path. It took us 4 months, day of work, day and night work, forming a huge coalition of people of goodwill to get members of the Afghanistan National Institute of Music to freedom. At least that is that we can save something for Afghanistan. We can save this young musician. We can save this young female musician. We can save and give another opportunity for them. So I'm very, very grateful that to the government of Qatar in a time that we needed the support of our partners who supported the establishment of the Afghanistan National Institute so generously over 10 years. I was expecting that those gonna help us to get out of Afghanistan, all the partners of the Afghanistan National Institute of Music. I send appeals to the aid of states to many countries. To the United States, UK, Germany, Switzerland, Azerbaijan, many countries, but Portugal was the only country who came forward and offered a group asylum to 273 people. But to get them out was not an easy. So we attempted on the 27, when still the Kabul airport was under the control of the US Army, and we've been told that, okay, we help you to get into the airport. But after 17 hours of being ping-ponged between the gates, while the life of every students, faculty, and their families was on stake, anything could happen any moment there. Eventually, we've been told that, sit back, wait for a better time. So it was frustrating for everyone, and everyone thought, we're never gonna make it. We're stuck here, and we have to deal with the Taliban, and wait what's gonna happen with us. But I was outside Afghanistan, we did not give up. I reached out back to the Portugal, I said, is still your offer on? They said, yes. How we can get them? No one knows how we can get them, because over 180 people did not have passport, valid passport to travel. In those days that you saw in the video, or in some of the videos that people are running in the Kabul airport for their safety, but on those days, when they finished, on those days you could leave with any document that shows that you are an Afghan, or you work for an international organization, or you've been associated with something that the Taliban, during the Taliban, you're gonna suffer. But those days passed, so only passports. I'm very grateful to many people, many foreign ministers who met me, listened to me, tried their best to help us, but by the end of the day, their hands was also tied up. No one could move against the constitution, issue passport to the people who are not living in those countries. But I had to flee back to Qatar. I went there. The government of Qatar played a significant role in facilitating and helping to get this young musician out of Afghanistan, all of them, to Qatar. But also when it comes to the passport, also we had the support of the government of Qatar. So you see a few photos that it's during the time of the evacuation. It took us five flights to get 273 people out of Afghanistan, and eventually to get them to Portugal. So the evacuation was organized by with the full support of Qataris between Afghanistan, and they've been intermediate acting on our behalf and making sure that everyone, minors, majors, men and women, are allowed to leave Afghanistan. And then I'm also very grateful to many people from around the world, especially the Spotify. I'm not going yet to make a promotion for Spotify, but when I needed money to charter an airplane, I knocked on their door and they immediately positively responded and agreed to charter an airplane from Doha to Lisbon. Those three painful months after the return of the Taliban, when the students were in hiding and extremely stressed, eventually has been gone, and we got everyone to safety, to Qatar, and then to Portugal. Of course, the life of refugees are not easy. It's extremely tough. It's extremely, extremely tough to begin from scratches and to build your life. When we were back in Doha in 2021, I was talking when I arrived there, and I was speaking to a member of my school, I was telling them, enjoy your honeymoon here, because this is the honeymoon. They were housed in this football village. They will be receiving a wonderful care. But I lived as a refugee myself, so I had that experience. I knew what's going to happen when they're moving to their last destination. So when they arrived to Portugal, at the very beginning, it was happy. But after a week, the pain began to biting them and coming back. It was a very tough time living in an old military hospital with little support. We are very grateful, but no access to education. It was time of COVID-19. The country was locked down, and therefore they could not do anything for them rather than just house them there. But we've been promised, and of course, in addition to the promise, but we began new challenges there. I've been so happy when I got 273 people to Portugal. After a week of witnessing how they're living in their temporary accommodation, I went back to Australia to get some rest after 4 months of working day and night. So I was there that began to receiving very frustrating messages about the life condition and the way that our students are living and the expectation, and they are very, very high expectation. I had to flew back to see what's happening. But the new challenge that we faced, the Family Court of Portugal decided to make a decision about the future of our students. It was a huge group. There were 73 minors in the group, kids under the age of 18. So we had well-recorded documentation that the guardianship of the students were handed over to us, to the school. But that was not acceptable to the legal system of Portugal. Doesn't matter how much support we had to get there, but now we have to fit with the legal system of Portugal. So we've been facing the split of the group, the break of group into pieces, and send all over Portugal into foster care. We were aware that the kids already away from their families. They were living as a families. They were brother and sister each other in this forced exile. Getting them away and splitting them once again and sending them all over could have severe consequences for them, but also it had a severe consequences for what we left Afghanistan and why we left Afghanistan. To rebuild the school back in exile, to give an opportunity to our kids to continue their music education, to be the safeguard or to safeguarding the Afghan music in a time that it's destroyed in Afghanistan, it's banned in Afghanistan, there's no opportunity inside of the country to save it for the future. So we faced that big legal court case, and we had to win it. But again, I'm very grateful to the lawyers who pro bono stepped in to help us. And eventually we've been able to keep the group together. A solution was found that we should leave Lisbon but move to a smaller city in the north of Portugal where the government is able to give us an opportunity to build, but also the kids can immediately go back to school, begin their education, continue their education. I did not want the kids to be a day out of the school, and therefore we signed a memorandum of understanding with Braga Conservatory, a partnership that they began teaching our students, but at the same time providing us facilities so we can implement our own program, the teaching of Afghan music, Afghan musical instruments, re-establishing our ensemble and orchestra. So in this manner, we were back in the school, very happy, and the students are doing extremely well. We back after all these days, many friends of our school who helped us with our evacuation, they did not leave us behind. They began to providing us now professional hands of support when we left Afghanistan. I'm extremely grateful to Yo-Yo Ma, who came to Portugal to run master classes for our cello students. I'm extremely grateful to William Harvey, a wonderful violin player from the United States who came to teach our students for a month. I'm also grateful to Midori, the wonderful human being and violin player from New York who was coming also to teaching our students and running chamber music master classes and violin classes. All this enabled us to slowly step back on our feet and resume everything that we've been doing in the past. After some time of very tough time to begin rebuilding, within 1.5 year, we stood back on our feet and began our not only our educational activity, not ensure that our kids are back in the school, every single one of them, but also we begin to reestablish our ensemble and orchestras and return back to the global stage. So within less than 1.5 year, we begin our return with a triumphal concert in Gulbenkian Center in October 2022 and took it from there. Last year was extremely successful in terms of concert touring to other European cities. We played in the most prestigious venues such as Victoria Hall, Beethoven Festival in Bonn. We will be playing very soon in UK, but we also played Gourmet Museum, Victoria Hall, and most importantly, we had an opportunity to play at the United Nations. That was significantly important for us to drum up about the violation of human rights and musical rights of the Afghan people to the highest authorities in the world. We began in 2020 at Gulbenkian Center, and as you see, our choir, our youth orchestra, Zohar orchestra, everyone is back in fully functioning, and we are now traveling around the world, not only sharing the Afghan music, but also once again, we are engaged in people-to-people and cultural diplomacy between through young musicians and through the eyes of young musicians. We began 2024 already with a tour, with a wonderful concert tour to Italy, where we played at the Teatro Rossini, a joint performance with the Olympia Orchestra, which is an all-women orchestra of Italy. But it's good. We're happy. Everyone is happy. We're back to school. We're back at the global stage. But what's happening in Afghanistan, we are not indifferent to it. We keep fighting. We are in a much better position to amplify the voices of the Afghan people, to let the world know what's happening today in Afghanistan in the same way that I'm talking today here in front of you. That was important for, this is important for us, that was important, it is important, and it will be important for us. Advocating, for restoration of human rights, women rights, and music rights of the Afghan people. We turning every public performances of our school in a not only a concert, but it's always a protest against the Taliban. It's always a campaign to raise awareness about what's happening inside of Afghanistan in the field of music, human rights, and women rights.
ای آهی تو سوزان ده تر از آهی زمانه رزمی تو قشنگ است به فریاد زنانه آشفتم اشم غیر اومدی صفحه تقدیر هرچند تو را خلق و بگوین که فلانه
ای آه تو سوزنده تر از آه زمانه رزم تو قشنگ است با فریاد زنانه ای آه تو سوزنده تر از آه زمانه رزم تو قشنگ است با فریاد زنانه
This song that it's very special song. At the beginning, when you saw the two women under the full coverage, this song emerged on the day when the Taliban banned and prevented women from going to universities. These two girls, no one knows who they are. They composed this song themselves, the poetry is by themselves, and they released it in the social media. So it came across to the through me, and I've seen it, and I said, "It's of course it's what we can do to help. The only thing that we can do, we can put it to a new arrangement and amplify it." So we come with this video to amplify the voices of the Afghan women, and released this video in the last year on the 8th of March as part of our advocacy campaign for restoration of women rights in Afghanistan. So that's very important for us. It's not just our concert, but also I'm attending a lot of international conferences to speak about Afghanistan and to raise awareness. I just put a few of them here at that screen. You can see where we've been and we've been speaking. I spoke at the World Justice Forum about what's happening in Afghanistan. This is the lawyers, the top lawyers of the world there, but that's the place to speak about the violation of human rights in Afghanistan, to speak about the violation of human rights in the United Nations and in all other places. And I'm very pleased that one of my students was standing or delivering a speech to do advocacy for the women rights from the same stage at the United Nations, where the High Commissioner of United Nations for Human Rights was speaking. So we keep campaigning for the For the women rights and restoration of women rights in Afghanistan. But of course, music is always an important element that goes hands by hands. When we are talking about human rights or women rights, music is also part of the human rights. So when we restore full human rights in Afghanistan, it means that musical rights of the Afghan people will be also respected and returned. We've been talking too much about the Afghan Youth Orchestra and the establishment of the orchestra and what we're doing and where we are playing. So now, before we complete this presentation, I know that I've already speak too much and too long, and I know that it's end of working day. Everyone is extremely tired. So let's listen to a piece of Afghan music performed by the Afghan Youth Orchestra during their recent tour of Switzerland in the Victoria Hall.
Thank you.
So with this beautiful note also, I wanna, the music, I also would like to finish with a very promising and optimistic. We've been talking so much about negativity that's happening in Afghanistan. It's a long fight, we will keep fighting. But the good news that I can share with you, that's the kids, I evacuated them without their parents. They were on themselves. But this year, the government of Portugal agreed to receive 368 family members of their students. So soon they will be reunited with their families, with their siblings, parents, and grandchildren. That was the good news that's happened just in the last few days. And now we are working very closely once again with the government of Qatar to evacuate them from Afghanistan to Doha, and then from Doha to Lisbon would be our responsibility, and I hope that like last time, the people of goodwill gonna step in to assist us with chartering and a plan for the families. So on this optimistic note, I've finished my presentation, and I'm open, I give the floor to the question and answer. Please come. Yeah.
You've been listening to a download from the NYU Abu Dhabi Institute. You'll find more information on our website, www.nyuad.nyu.edu/institute.